আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমান কাসীরান কাসীরা। أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ। উলামায়ে কেরাম, মোস্ট রেসপেক্টেড ব্রাদার্স, ইউনিভার্সালি ইট সিমস দ্যাট দ্য মাশায়েখ, দ্য উলামা, আর অ্যাড্রেসিং দ্য কংগ্রিগেশনস, reminding them that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is the Razzaq. Locally in South Africa, even the Imams of the Haramain Sharifain and so many others that I heard recently, everybody seems to be informing the Ummat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you do not have to be disturbed about the conditions that are prevalent to such an extent that you begin contemplating suicide, or that you suffer from depression, or that you begin to make a'tiraz, objection about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's distribution of wealth, of property, of health, etc. So in today's talk, in the light of the Quran Sharif and in the light of the Ahadith, I wish to draw your attention to certain points. That unfortunately, many of us believe and think that if we are going to follow Sharia, if we are going to obey the Ahkam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in our business, then we will not be able to make progress. This is something that has impressed, or something that has influenced the minds of so many believers in Allah Ta'ala. Because when they see that progress is taking place in the large businesses, on the basis of borrowing on interest, giving on interest, and so many other haram transactions, then they begin to believe that until we do not indulge in haram, we will not be able to make progress. So in the light of the ahadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the light of the Quranic verses, let us see what are those asbab and what are those means that Allah Ta'ala Himself has mentioned and Rasul-e-Pak has mentioned for a person to receive sustenance. It is our need, there is no doubt, there is a great need for us to receive sustenance. Without food, without drink, without clothes, without shelter, a person would suffer. Poverty is not something that is desirable. Poverty comes, then the person has to make sabr and make an effort. But it is not something that a person should seek, that, Ya Allah, keep me poor. It's not something that is desirable. And especially in these days when people sell their imans for the sake of a few miserable coins or for a hamper. So in the Hadith Sharif, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported. One sahabi reports that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aksar, most of the times, his dua used to be, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. In other words, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala the best of the goodness of this world. The goodness of this world also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he must bless him with. And fil akhirati hasana, and the goodness of the hereafter. The goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter. He didn't say just seek the goodness of the hereafter. He said seek the goodness of this world also. It's an ayat of the Quran Sharif. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala before that says that there are some people who make dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Because what dua they make is, Ya Allah, give to us just in this dunya. So there will be nothing for them in the hereafter because they didn't seek for the hereafter. So such type of people Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rejects and condemns. But he glorifies and praises and talks highly about those people who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. Oh Allah, bless us in this world also. The goodness of this world also bless us with, and the goodness of the hereafter, and protect us from the azab of Jahannam. He is not seeking just wealth. He is not seeking just wealth, because we think dunya means wealth. Allah must give us plenty of wealth, so He has given us dunya. He is seeking the goodness of this world. You have heard on some other occasion, but it comes to mind again, so I will just go through it very quickly. That in the tafsir of this ayat, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, that what is fid dunya hasana? Gold, silver, oil wells, properties, jewelry, diamonds, pearls and rubies, this is not dunya. Children are not dunya. Homes are not dunya. Fid dunya hasana, when the person is seeking, then all these things are not dunya. It is only dunya. It only becomes dunya, the cursed dunya, when it diverts our remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Diverts us from the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. The person makes use of these things against Allah ta'ala's commands. He misuses it. He abuses it. He wastes it. He spends it in haram places. Then it becomes dunya. Otherwise, the tafsir of this ayat is that the person is seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fi dunya hasana al-afiyatu wal-kafaf. The person is seeking well-being and he is seeking sufficiency. The person is seeking al-mar'atu saliha. He is saying, Oh Allah, bless me with a pious and a righteous wife. Now here the person is seeking, so how can be the wife dunya? Al-mar'atu saliha. And now when he has a wife, so he wants children. So al-awladul abrar, he's saying, Oh Allah, bless me with pious and righteous children. So the children are also not dunya, because he is seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then he is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I've got wife, I've got children, but I must have money now to pay the rent, light, water, buy food for them, groceries, educate them. Where am I going to do all these things if I don't have money? So ar-rizqul halal. The person is asking for risk and sustenance which is halal. So risk and sustenance which is halal is also not dunya. Now when he has got these type of things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to him, then what he needs is knowledge how to use all these things. How to fulfill the rights of the wife, of the children, of the parents, of the clients, of the society. So now he needs ilm. He must have ilm, how to make namaz, how to keep fast, how to give zakat, how to make hajj. So al-ilm and ibadah, both things he is seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is also fit dunya hasana. That he is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for ilm, but at the same time amal on that ilm. Because if he is only seeking that ilm, but no amal, then too it becomes dunya. So he wants knowledge also, and he wants practice on that knowledge. Al-ilm wal-amal. And then to get this ilm and amal, he requires the sohbat and the company of the righteous and the pious, of the ulama, of the mashayikh. So therefore, sohbat of the salihin, that is also what he is seeking in fid dunya hasana. Then also, this person who is making this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Then he is seeking sana'ul khalq, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses somebody with sana'ul khalq, meaning that the people talk good of him, the people hold a good opinion of him, then this is fi dunya hasana. The person should be happy that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created a good opinion in the hearts of people for him. He should not think good of himself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi a'yunin nasi kabira. That, O Allah, make me in my own heart very small. I must think nothing of myself. I must not think that I'm a great worshipper, I'm a great namazi, and I do plenty of zikr and do plenty of deen work. I must not think anything of myself. But in the eye of the people, make me look big. There is great wisdom behind it. And many other things have been mentioned. So these things are not dunya. Dunya is when the person is diverted from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because of his children, or because of his business, or because of that beautiful home that he is residing in, or because of that gold and silver, or because of these other things that he has in his hands, all these ni'mats, now he forgets Allah ta'ala. So then that becomes dunya. So we go back to this hadith sharif of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the sahabi says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mostly he used to make this dua. He used to make it in abundance. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. Now that you know a little bit of the meaning also, so with that in mind, that I'm seeking from Allah all these things when I'm making this dua, then it will have a different effect. One is just to rattle off duas. Rattling off duas will give you sawab. But dua is something that should be from the heart. The person should know what he is seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we can see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is teaching the ummah that seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sustenance. So he hasn't ignored it. It is a need of mankind, and it is a need of every person, whether he's a Muslim or not a Muslim. But the lines are different. For the kuffar, for the yahood, for the munafiqeen, for the mushrikeen, for them, then increase in wealth through interest taking, giving, and all other kinds of things, it is acceptable. It is, as I explained on some other occasion, that it is like that bone to the dog. That the bone for the dog is good. It will make it healthy and strong. But if human beings begin to eat bones just because that dog became fit and strong, then the human being will die. So the line of progress and taraqqi for us is not that of the kuffar and the mushrikeen. But risk has not been ignored. So besides the means that we know as means of risk and sustenance, in the introduction I mentioned that this is a universal thing, that everywhere now the mashayikh, and I heard the imams of the Haramain Sharifain also speaking on the same thing, that don't go towards haram, because they also, what is happening is that people are having plenty of wealth, some of them, not everybody. But some of them have got plentiful, because they've got oil wells, or they've got huge businesses, or they've got huge empires. But all that money is put into the banks in America, in Europe, and in other parts of the world. And plentiful of usage of that interest that is accrued from those accounts is being used. And many of them don't even give the zakat properly. So therefore they are warning them that this is the thing that brings afterwards the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It does not mean that because you live in the Haramain Sharifain, so therefore after that you will be protected. So what I am saying is that besides those asbab and means that we know, that if you open a business, then you get sustenance. If you have to dig an oil well, you will get risk. If you have to dig for gold and silver, you will get risk. If you have to work for somebody, you will get risk. If you have become a doctor, teacher, lawyer, professor, then you will get risk. These are means. But I recall in 1969 or 70, I had to have one letter typed. So my uncle took me in Bombay. He said, come, we will get it typed. So we were taking a walk, and I thought he's going to take me to some office of someone where he's going to get it typed. But he took me on a street where there were a number of people sitting with typewriters. And who they were? People with degrees and qualifications, BA LLBs, they were attorneys. He says most of these people are attorneys, but they can't get business. So they are sitting on the street here with typewriters and they do a little bit of typing for people and they take 1 rupee, 2 rupees. So those are means. Allah Ta'ala has just created that as a means. But for rizq to come with barakat and blessing, it is not necessary that that means will definitely suffice. So those are means and we must make use of those means. There is no harm. In fact, we are encouraged to make use of all these means of getting sustenance in the halal way. But together with that, let us look at what the Quran and Hadith Sharif says besides these. Besides these means which we know. But to get barakat even in those means, what does the Quran and Hadith tell us? So if we have to look at the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif, there are a number of things that have been mentioned which also brings rizq. And that rizq and sustenance will come halal and it will come with the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and then there will be barakat and blessing in it. It's not going to bring misery, it's not going to bring restlessness, it's not going to create worries and anxiety, it's going to bring the person peace and contentment and satisfaction. Of those asbab that have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif, the first sabab is istighfar and tawbah. Which person really considers istighfar and tawbah today as a means of drawing rizq and sustenance from the treasures of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So istighfar and tawbah. Then there is taqwa. Taqwa is another means of drawing the rizq and sustenance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with barakat and blessing. Then tawakkul ala Allah, to have trust and faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that He is the provider, He is the one who gives, everything lies in His hands. We must have complete faith and trust in Him. Tawakkul ala Allah, that is another means of drawing rizq from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then this person, another means for him according to the Quran and according to the Hadith Sharif is sila rahmi, to be good, to be kind, to be generous to one's family members, relatives, parents, children, brothers and sisters, whoever is in need, then this person, he goes out of his way to assist and help, and especially his family members. He deals with them in a pleasant and a kind manner. He is generous to them. He is charitable. And he is not waiting for a return of those favors that he has shown. It's not that he gives to his brother or sister and after that waits for them to return. The person does it solely for the pleasure of Allah. So this is another means. We can discuss all these things at length, inshallah, some other time, but I'm just going through the... that what do we get generally from the Hadith and the Quran Sharif. So tawakkul ala Allah, and then to be good, to be kind and generous to one's family members. Then another means of drawing rizq and sustenance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is spending for those whom Allah Ta'ala has already given. If they still want an increase, then spending in the cause and in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For masjids, for madrasas, for the yatim, for the orphan, for the needy, for the poor, for the widows, for tabligh, for propagation of the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for the publication of the Quran Sharif, kitabs of hadith, kitabs of deen. Now all this, when he's going to spend like that, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will increase that sustenance. It is a strange system of Allah Ta'ala that the more you spend on this, the more He returns it. So that is another means of drawing from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then again, if you have to look at the Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, another means of drawing sustenance, getting rizq in abundance, is showing favor upon those who are weak. The person is weak, he is mentally weak, he is physically weak, or he is financially weak. It doesn't mean only financial. The person can be mentally weak. Now this person requires our assistance, he requires our help. He does not know how to fill up forms at the departments. He does not know how to go and work and earn a living. He is not trusted by anybody because of his mental condition. So now such a person requires our assistance and he requires our help. Therefore, those people who have mentally retarded children, they should not think that it is an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is rewarding them risk and sustenance because they are taking care of those retarded children. Other fathers and mothers would have thought that this child of mine is going to grow up and he will become a teacher, lawyer, professor, and thereafter he is going to support me and feed me. But here this father knows and this mother knows that this child of mine, I may have to look after this child until my dying day. And the child will not be even able to walk sometimes. So this person must not think that he is being deprived or it is an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The care and the attention that these people give to these type of children, and not necessarily one's own child, can be anybody else's child or can be one's family member. Any person who is weak can be an old person, can be a sick person, can be a person who is mentally weak or financially weak, or the person is physically weak. Now if the person is going to show a favor, is going to do ihsan upon this person, then it is a means. Allah Ta'ala will use this deed and action of this person to provide risk and sustenance for the healthy person. So the healthy person sometimes is getting it because of those weak ones. In fact, that is the mafhum of the hadith. That the weak ones whom we are helping, we should not think that we have done them a great favor. It is because of them that Allah Ta'ala is providing to us so that we may take care of them. So that is another means. Allah Ta'ala has created this as a means. Then a person who follows up a hajj with a hajj or an umrah with an umrah, this is also a means. According to the hadith, it's a means and it's our yaqeen that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provides the person with abundance in his risk and sustenance. Now all these means that I have discussed, just given you the list, we haven't gone into any discussion as yet. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life and health and an opportunity, then we will discuss it. But these are means that have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif for drawing from the treasures of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala our risk and sustenance. And in abundance, it is based on the Quran and the Sunnah, and it is not only just a fairy tale, it is a reality. Thousands of people, by making use of these means, have been able to draw from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures. The reason why we are suffering in spite of sometimes doing all these things is that we still indulge in a lot of sins. That is our major problem. So Allah Ta'ala allows the body to grow, the person grows and grows. So that is like the swell in the body. The body is swelling. That is not health. It is just a swell of the body. Any day it can erupt and this person will then die. Health is where the person is eating good food, is doing exercise and is building up a strong body, then that is health. Then if he is big in size too, that's health. So here Allah Ta'ala will give to the believers that risk with his pleasure. And when it will come with his pleasure, then there will be peace, there will be harmony in the home, there will be contentment, there will be satisfaction, there will be an enjoyment of that risk also. At present we have got no enjoyment of that risk also. For if a person, for example, he has been charged with murder and he has to appear at court on a certain day, and the judgment could be, the verdict could be that he is guilty and he is going to be hanged, those places where they still hang, then you can give this person biryani, you can give him roast or you can give him toast. Nothing is going to be of any good to him because his heart and mind and soul is not in that food. His heart, mind and soul is in that case that's going to take place. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes provides as a test. And the test is this, what is the sign that it is a test, is that that person becomes restless. Then we know that that is an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That risk which brings restlessness, anxiety, worries, problems, then that risk is an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It shows that because of indulgence in plentiful of haram, Allah Ta'ala is giving this person plentiful and make his life miserable. But that risk and that sustenance, even though it's plentiful, but if it brings peace of mind, contentment, satisfaction, tranquility, serenity, joy and happiness, then that is with the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And sometimes it could be very little, but it still brings contentment, satisfaction, pleasure and happiness. Then that is with the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now these are two simple rules. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make use of these asbab which he has mentioned in the Quran Sharif and which Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, to draw our rizq from his treasures. Because that will then be with barakat. All the other means, we must make use of it, go to our businesses, go to our professions, but believe that rizq and sustenance comes from there. And if we want it with barakat, blessing and happiness and satisfaction, then there is no other way except to turn towards him and make istighfar and tawbah over our sins. Inshallah, we'll continue next week.